We continue our reading in the prophet Isaiah, coming today to Isaiah 7, 15 to 25. You'll find it on page 728 using the Pew Bible. Now, there is a phenomenon known as prophetic telescoping in the Bible that is helpful to know, and it's going to apply to this passage. Now, what it means is that in the Old Testament, a prophecy will often be made of a great distant event, usually concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Very clear, it can only be fulfilled in one who is also divine. But then there'll be a local application of it. There'll be an immediate prophecy of a type, one who will typify that. Maybe the greatest example is 2 Samuel 7, the promise of the king who will reign forever on the throne of David. And then there's words that can only apply to his son Solomon. And so Christ's eternal kingdom is prophesied, but then as a picture, Solomon's kingdom is prophesied. Something like that goes on here, because Isaiah 7:14 has given one of the great prophecies of Jesus' virgin birth. The virgin will be with child, and you will call his name Emmanuel. And then immediately, we read things that don't seem to apply to the Son of God. It's a normal baby. And that's because Isaiah is going to have a child through the prophetess, as happens in chapter 8. And that child is a local picture, a local fulfillment of the true fulfillment in which God's going to work out some of the dynamics. By the way, you'll see in chapter 8, the child's name is Maher Shalal Hashbaz. I know we have a number of pregnant women in the church. Here's a biblical name you might consider. Actually, I wouldn't, but we'll explain that next week. Well, in this passage, what Isaiah is being told is you're going to have a baby, Isaiah, and before that baby is even a toddler or gets beyond toddler years, before he can know right from wrong, before he can speak, the Assyrians are going to come. And this is going to, remember the context is, earlier in the chapter, there's an alliance of the northern kingdom of Israel with an evil king and Syria next to them, and they're going to ally and they're going to attack seeking to take over Jerusalem, and Ahaz, an ungodly king on the throne of David, he doesn't know how to trust God. Isaiah says, trust God. He doesn't want to trust God. No, he wants to trust Sennacherib, the emperor of Assyria, on the other side of Syria. This is the rock, paper, scissors game. I have rock, you have paper, I will hire scissors. The problem was, these were very sharp scissors. You go to the British Museum or the Metropolitan Museum in New York, and you will see that the Assyrians were serious business. And they were inviting them down to check out their real estate. This was a mistake. But it's the result of idolatry, isn't it? When we turn to the worldly powers, we seek an ungodly means of deliverance, it brings consequences far more dire than we ever anticipated. I think this happens in the church. We are concerned with things going on in the culture, so we hire political consultants and we engage in carnal, secular activities in the church, and the political consultants have taken over the church. Or we want to compete with secularism, so we hire a marketing company, and we're going to do marketing, and we're going to do goods and services, and soon the church is no longer the church. The marketing folks, nothing wrong with marketers, but we use the secular worldly means rather than trust in God. Well, this was worse because it was Assyria, and God's going to prophesy it. Well, let me just say, in my sermon this morning, we're going to hear one of the great statements of the sovereignty of God. And one thing these verses are going to show is the great calamity that's going to befall on Israel and Judah with the Assyrians, and then after them, the Babylonians. Clearly, it's not merely the result of human folly. It is the sovereignty of God. And ultimately, it will be for good. But locally, it would be a great judgment upon his people. God would summon. It is he who will shave with a razor that he has hired. Well, how much better for us to trust the Lord, walking in his ways and not in idolatry. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning with verse 15. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the clefts of the rocks and on the thorn bushes and on the pastures. In that day the Lord will shave with a razor that is hired beyond the river with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it will sweep away the beard also. In that day a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep, and because of the abundance of milk that they give, he will eat curds, for everyone who is left in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day every place where there used to be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver will become briars and thorns. With bows and arrow a man will come there, for all the land will be briars and thorns. And as for all the hills that used to be hoed with a hoe, you will not come there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place where cattle are let loose and where sheep tread. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.